We're reading scripture Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. It's found in the Pew Bible 650. The sovereign Lord has filled me with his spirit. He has chosen me and sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the broken heart, to announce release to captives and freedom to those in prison. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat the enemies. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to give to those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, a song of praise instead of sorrow. They will be like trees that the Lord himself has planted. They will all do what is right, and God will be praised for what he has done. The word of the Lord.
This is the Gospel, chapter 4 of Luke, beginning with the 16th verse. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. The words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it was interesting this morning, wasn't it, hearing the scripture? We heard the Isaiah passage that Ruby read, and we heard her saying those very words about the one that was coming that would be special one with special purpose, especially called. And then we heard Jesus tying the Old Testament to the New Testament, fulfilling that connectedness that is the Bible. The Bible has lots of different things to say, and you can pick things out of it, and you can take little things to proof text what you want it to say. But if you take the Bible, it has several very carefully laid out and universal themes that run throughout. And this one is righteousness. Righteousness. Now, it's a little dangerous for us to call ourselves righteous. It's kind of like, I am righteous. It's a little bit arrogant, it's a little bit cocky, it's a little bit, I'm more righteous than you are. And we need to be humble about that, because if we are righteous in being servants of all through Jesus Christ. But righteousness is one of the central themes, and it's spelled out in what Jesus said, to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. It's an important set of statements, and it's about doing justice. That was our offering today, peace with justice. We've talked about this. We can have peace. We could have told all the kids, go sit in a corner. And we would have had peace for a few minutes. But it would not have been a calm peace. It would have been an impressed peace. So peace with justice is that peace where everybody is together and they're all agreeable and they're equal and they are a good connected spirit, mind, and body. People together at ease. That's hard to do, but it's our journey. It's what Jesus is calling us to do. In Jesus' time, liberty to the captives would have meant the slaves. There were slaves in his age. There were people that were enslaved and owned, and he's speaking out against it there. liberty to the captives. And there may not be slavery per se to us today, but we have people enslaved. We have people enslaved to drugs, to addictions. We have people enslaved to unjust systems, to oppression. We have people enslaved because of citizenship rights, color of their skin, religion. There are lots who need to have their liberty proclaimed. There's lots of justice work to be done, and we ought to be about it. I was watching the news. Anybody ever watch the news? There are days that I think I'm going to quit. But I was watching the news. This was one of the good ones, and I thought, what is this about? And they had a girls' soccer team. Did you see that? They're in a championship, and they disqualify the team because one of the little girls appears to be a little boy instead. Now, somehow, I guess there was a typo, and it got marked male instead of female. But you look at the little girl, and she's got really short-cropped hair, and she could certainly look like a little boy. Young enough at that age that, you know, that she hasn't filled out in all those spots that help differentiate quite so much. But she could have looked like a little boy. And they disqualify their team. And the team went and said, now, wait a minute, she's a girl. And they said, I don't know. I don't know. And they disqualified the team. Can you imagine how she must have felt? Poor kid. Crushed. But I saw on the news that her teammates, you know what they did? They all got their hair cut like hers. They all went, and you see them, and they're chopping off these lengths of hair. And the little girls, their looks in their eyes are a little bit big, but they all just squealed and laughed. And that's justice. That's righteousness. That's taking care of somebody in their midst. And they did that. And they did it together with her. It was an amazing thing. I had tears in my eyes. This is what it's supposed to be about. Somebody in our midst that needs us, that needs this to happen. It wasn't in that newscast, but I did hear news that in the North Carolina, no, it wasn't North Carolina, it was in the North Illinois Conference, they have ordained a transgendered person. And I thought, this is going to be an interesting year. And I thought about division in churches. We have division amongst clergy. We have, things are just very tense. And I thought, I'm going to stop watching the news. But that's not going to work either. We heard a discussion, actually, the DS, District Superintendent Paul Kotke, told us that there is a conference somewhere that has decided that the whole conference is going to quit the United Methodist Church. They're so upset. And the discussion said, well, do we have legislation to allow a whole conference to secede? And I thought, you're worried about the legislative part of it? It's something that we do, isn't it? It's just how we are as humans. But I don't know, you may not have felt it. There's a little bit of friction in the church. There's friction in our nation. There's friction in our world. There are times I want to just go move into a cave. Anybody feeling like that? I'm going back to Johnstown next week, and wish me luck trying to remember everybody's names. I have a very small brain, and so I've filled my brain with the names of the people here in church. So I'll go back there and I'll meet somebody that I've known for years and years and years. I know their kids. I baptized their kids. I've been to their farm. I helped them repair, and I won't be able to know their names. I hope everybody else is the same way, but we'll see how we make it work. We'll get through it, won't we? For 17 years I was at that church, and my commute was to cross the street on foot. Church was right across from the parsonage. There's a disadvantage of that. Every time the copier machine broke down and the secretary was, phone would ring and say, I know it's your day off, but I know it's your day off, but there's a sprinkler head that's squirting up. It was okay. It worked out most of the time. There were times that I didn't answer the phone, too, but that's another story. But for 17 years, sometimes I'd have to go out and start the car and run it for a while just to charge up the battery because it never came out of the garage. I did drive to the church two or three times in the 17 years I was there. I think I had a load of paper in the back and I had to, you know, didn't want to carry it. the worm has turned now. I'm in a two-point appointment with churches on opposite sides of Denver. So I drive to Jefferson Avenue. I did that this morning. It was a beautiful drive. It's not as beautiful in the middle of the week at noon when I'm coming home to feed Melissa. I-70 and then I-225 and lots of people in a terrible, terrible hurry. Anybody ever been in? Maybe none of you have experienced that. But I was driving south on 225. Beautiful spring day. I had all the windows down, and it was just that right temperature. It was lovely. And I was just keeping up with traffic. I ended up somehow in the left-hand lane, and we're scooting along at the speed that all the traffic's going. It's supposed to be 65, but we were going at the speed that everybody's going at. I'm not going to go any further than that on that. Thank you very much. But I look up, and the car in front of me hits some trash on the highway, and it was one of those light pieces of trash that flips up in the air and begins to... And it was a little piece of plastic. It looked like a piece of plastic that you'd use if you were going to put plastic around a snake. Now, I don't know why you would wrap a snake in plastic, but anyway, it was a long, skinny piece like that. You've seen some of those. Maybe for a broom handle. I don't know what they use it for, but there it was in the road. Flipped up, and I thought, whoop. And I thought, it's going to go right over my car. And it came right over the front of it and went on. The antenna's on the right side of my car. And it folded itself perfectly around my antenna. Now, if you were trying to make a movie and you were trying to make a stunt to do that, they would have had 100 takes before they'd ever got it to loop around that antenna just exactly like that. Now, that's frustrating by itself, but it was making a sound. I have an example. This is not the sound, but this is what it reminded of me. Get ready, Michael. Yep. It was howling like a swarm of bees. Those were vuvuzelas. Do you know what a vuvuzela is? The little horn things they had at the soccer games that they finally outlawed because they were so noisy. So here it is outside my right-hand window, and it's perfectly the right length, perfectly in center there, and it's making this horrendous loud noise. I mean, it just startled the snot out of me, and I thought, oh, no, and I scooted over a little. My car's not really big, but I scooted over, and I reached for it. And then I looked out the front window, and I was scooting over on the road, too. And I came back into my lane, and my little heart went putty, 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 pump, pump, pump. And I thought, that was one of the dumbest things I've done here for a while. Do I need to play the sound again? Because the sound is still going now. So I rolled up my window, and that was a little better, but not much. It was howling at me. And I thought, maybe I should try and pull off to the side of the highway so I can get to it. Well, I was in the far left lane at this point for some reason, and there were lots of cars around. And if you've ever stopped along the side of the highway, that's not the safest thing to do either. And then you got to try and get back into traffic after you've stopped. And I thought, I've only got a couple of miles to go. I'm going to exit up here, not too far. I can endure that. Now, do I need to play the sound again for you to... So it's doing that in my ears, and I'm holding onto the steering wheel with both hands and gritting my teeth, and that noise is just howling at me. And I thought to myself, I have to drive the car and just drive the car. My temptation was, maybe I can still reach it. Maybe I can do something about it. Maybe. And I said, I have got to just drive the car and leave that noise, endure that noise. The good news, I exited, came to a stop, looked around, the light had just turned red, so I knew I had plenty of time, scooted over and grabbed that piece of plastic, pulled it in and threw it on the floor in front of the passenger seat. The rest of the good news was I thought, this is a perfect illustration for my sermon. And here it is. Our church is making a horrendous noise. There are horrendous noises around us. Do I want to play the noise again? The church is in the middle of that. The nation's in the middle of that. The world's in the middle of that. All that noise is going on. And we got to stop paying attention to the noise and do what? We got to focus on the right thing. We got to start driving the car again. You see, there's a path that we're supposed to be on, and we got to stay on that and ignore everything else and not drift off track and not drift into another lane and not drift into the ditch. We got to do what we're supposed to do. Keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is not the buzzing of the plastic on the antenna. And the main thing is not all the distractions and the side stuff and all the politics and all the disagreements. I know people that are beloved of one another that are on opposite sides politically in our country, and they've stopped talking to each other. You know, before the Methodists merged with the United Brethren, they were the Methodist Episcopal Church. Around before the Civil War, they went to General Conference and they passed a statement saying, "We do not support slavery. We believe slavery is evil." The people in the southern churches just went ballistic. They were angry. They were mad. There was this buzzing sound. There was this noise, and it was so loud that people said, okay. And after a year, they went back and said, we'll take away our statement. We don't want to be fighting. We don't want to argue. We'd rather have it quiet. So we fought a war instead. So we went out on the battlefield and argued it out with bullets and cannons and disease and infection and bayonets and swords and God knows what else. What if they'd have just stuck with that noise and said, let's talk it through. Let's keep our eyes on the road and let's hold on to each other heart to heart. We don't know. Didn't work that way. Needs to work this way now. We need to figure these things out. We need to get beyond the differences and beyond the noise and all the distraction. If you need to plug your ears, you got to do that and do that. I preached this at Jefferson's Avenue, and one of the gals said, why didn't you just turn your radio up really loud? I said, it was plenty loud in the car already. But there's that temptation to do that. I can drown this out with something else, and we can't do that either. It's not going to work. It isn't where we are, and it isn't what we're about. In the midst of all that noise, we have to listen for the still, small voice of God. That's how we connect one to another. The Methodist Episcopal Church split into the MEC North and the MEC South, and it was split for years, till after the war. And they merged back together finally. We need to be at that merger point, come back together, come back as a people, regardless of our differences. We're divided. That's okay. But we are Christian. We have one boss. We have one direction. Keep your eye on the road. Keep your eye on the road.